What we just sang, I think, is an ongoing challenge for us, isn't it? The words of the Bible are ancient words, and yet they're words that are for us, not simply for the people that first heard those words. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, this morning. We all want leaders, don't we? When you think about politics, when you think about business and industry, when you think about our schools and our hospitals, our police departments, our fire departments, and our community, we want good leaders, don't we? In congregations of God's people, we want good leaders. And yet, as we look at our world, so often leaders are not what they ought to be. So often, too often, leaders seem to be self-centered rather than other-centered or group-centered. That they seek their own good above the common good. It's true of politicians, isn't it? You do know that? Politicians very easily lapse into a way of thinking of that I have special privilege because I've been elected to this office. There is something inherently wrong in a system when politicians pass laws that they themselves do not have to live under. I mean, that's a problem, isn't it? And that's true in our country. You think about health care. Do you know Congress has their own health care system that's different than the ones that we live under? They have their own retirement system that's a very different system than Social Security. Or you think about CEOs of companies. One example that I think is very telling about the CEOs, the chief executive officers of so many different companies, if you look at the pay gap between the people who are actually going to work every day and those who are the leaders, I read something recently that compared the CEO compensation in 1950 to 2017. In 1950, the gap between compensation between the average worker and the CEO was 20 to 1. What that means is that the average worker had to work 20 days to make as much as what the CEO made in one day. In terms of dollars, if the worker was making $10 a day in 1950, the CEO was making $200 a day, 1950. In 2017, the ratio had changed from 20 to 1 to 360 to 1. You hear what I'm saying? That it takes the average worker a whole year to make as much as the average CEO makes. There's something wrong there, isn't there? Something is amiss. That's not the sort of leaders we want. The issue in chapter 34 of Ezekiel is leadership. And let me say something about the book of Ezekiel as a whole. We've been thinking together about the book of Ezekiel for several weeks now. In chapters 1 through 33, this first part of the book of Ezekiel, the task of Ezekiel basically is to deliver bad news. And the bad news is God is going to work you over to try to make you better. And it's going to be very difficult. God is going to send you away from your home 800 miles to the east in Babylon. And it's going to be tough. And God's going to punish you. But what you find beginning in chapter 34 through the end of the book, chapter 48, is, but God does this for your own good. And so, beginning in chapter 34, there is a message not of punishment, not of doom. The message is hope. The message is comfort. God is still at work in the world, and God will set things right. And so the task of Ezekiel changes beginning in chapter 34. And the question beginning in chapter 34 is, okay, God's going to give us hope, but what's this hope going to look like, and how is this hope going to happen? One of the first things in this second section that God will say is, and I'm going to start driving this car. I'm going to take my place behind the wheel, and I'm going to start leading, because previous leaders have not been what they ought to be for Israel. The previous leaders have resulted in exile. But there's hope. I'm going to reform you. I'm going to redeem you from exile, and you're going to be my people in a better way. One of the things I should remind you about the Bible, in particular the Old Testament, is that the word shepherd is used very often in the ancient world as a metaphor, as a way to speak about a king. So that when you read Psalm 23, and it begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," that is a way of saying, "The Lord is my king. The Lord is my ruler." Others may have their own rulers, but the Lord is going to be my king, my ruler. And that's really the idea in chapter 34 of the book of Ezekiel. The Lord is my king. He is my shepherd. Because what God begins to say in chapter 34 is, I'm going to become the shepherd. Israel's previous human shepherds have failed them. And so I'm going to take over. And the failure of Israel's shepherds has been that they are greedy, self-centered, and not other-centered, and not concerned about God's people. Listen as I read chapter 34, verses 2 through 6. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, all shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them, so that they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek them. And God has an answer in chapter 34. God says, I'm going to take matters into my own hand. I have sent prophets in the past, and that didn't work. They were rejected. So now I'm going to not just send a prophet, I'm going to show up myself. And I'm going to show you what leadership is. And in chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, God's message to His own people that He has sent into exile to be retrained in faith, He's going to say, and here's what I'm going to do in light of the failure of my people. And the thing I want you to notice as I read verses 11 through 16 is this recurring phrase, I will. I will. Humans have failed to do it, but God says, I will do it. I will step up, and I will lead. Beginning in verse 11 of chapter 34. And thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As the shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down on good grazing land, and on rich pastures they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. And I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy, and I will feed them in justice. I will set things right. I will do it, God says. But God says, and I'm going to send somebody. We read these words early in our service this morning. Homer led us in that reading. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 23 and 24. Let me read those words again. Where God says, I'm going to show up, and one of the ways I'm going to show up is I'm going to send somebody. Verse 23. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. And he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. You do understand, David's been long dead when God says this through Ezekiel. This is not literally the King David. The idea is, it is someone who is descended from David. It is this idea that we hear earlier in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, where God says to David, there will be someone descended from you who will have your throne, and it will be a forever throne. It's what Matthew is doing when he starts off his gospel with a genealogy. And he makes the point that Jesus is the son of David. Jesus is king. He is the king anticipated in the message of Nathan to David in 2 Samuel 7. And Ezekiel is picking up on that same idea. There is a shepherd coming, and he's going to be this leader that leads my people. He is going to be king, a shepherding king. Jesus, I think that's why Jesus will speak of himself in John chapter 10, the Gospel of John. Do you remember this? Where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is this shepherd that is anticipated in Ezekiel chapter 34. Jesus is this son of David, who is a kingly shepherd, who will guide the people of God, and he is a good leader. For he is not a self-centered leader, but he is a group-centered, other-centered leader. For the leader among the people of God, whatever else human leaders may look like in politics or in industry or in our community, godly leadership has a different look to it. It is not a self-centered kind of leadership. It does not ask the question, what is in it for me? How might I find an advantage for myself? It is rather, what might I do in laying down my life for someone else for their good? Jesus has redefined what leadership is. And it is leadership in which one gives up what's best for self for the good of others. One person has described this kind of leadership is that it's an upside down kingdom. That if you think about the normal way people think of kings, you have this sort of pyramid where you have the wide range of people that serve everybody above them to the point of the king. And what Jesus has done, and his cross illustrates this, what Jesus has done is he has turned this pyramid upside down so that greatness comes through service, not accumulating power and the ability to order others around, but rather that power comes through self-giving. When we gather around this table later this morning, we're going to be remembering the one who gave himself. And in so doing, he changed the very definition of what is powerful in our world. There is nothing more powerful in our world than the leadership that is self-giving. And our world may not get it. They may not appreciate it. But it is appreciated in heaven. And that's what matters most. I see this kind of leadership in this congregation. There are a lot of leaders who are following the leadership of Jesus in this congregation, whose first question is not, what do I get out of this? But what might I give? How might I give myself and what God has blessed me with? Next Saturday morning, 9:00, the far end of the building, the doors will open and people can come and get clothing for children. And those who open up those doors and those who assist those folks, they're leaders. That's leadership. That's leadership modeled on the leadership of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Every Thursday at 1:00, there's a group of people that get together and they sew and they knit. And that's leadership. For they are sowing not simply for themselves, they are knitting not simply for themselves, but they sow to make things to give to people who are in nursing homes, and they knit to give things to parents and who have new babies. That's leadership in the kingdom of God. In a few weeks, we'll open up the doors of our building. And there will be homeless families that will stay in our church building for a week. And the people that prepare those rooms and the people that prepare those meals, what they're doing is being leaders. Leadership that's modeled on the self-giving of Jesus. Hopefully, we're going to finish this project one of these days. God willing, let's have some amens. And we'll start having a lunch again for students over here at Midland High School. And the people that show up to prepare that lunch and to serve that lunch and to clean up after that lunch, those are leaders who are following this leading the leadership of the self-giving one, Jesus Christ. When we give our money to help with missions and help reach out with the gospel here and in other places. And when we help with homes for children, when we participate in that, we're growing as leaders. Leaders like Jesus, whose leadership led him to the cross.